16 points. We will see who's in the lead this morning. Okay, well, we'll find out. Brother Don, tell us what we got.
All right, this does not include Bible memory. You still can do that. This does not include any Bible memory. Daniel 6:3, anytime today. Daniel 6:4, anytime today. That's it. Here are the team points. Red has 197,550 points. Blue has 196,200 points.
The red. Whoa. Back and forth. So that is really, really close. It can basically, the difference then would be, would 1,000 points put blue over or not yet? They need more than 1,000, wouldn't they? 1,250. So 1,250 is all the difference. So basically, two memory verses. Okay. So that is good spirit there. Good spirit, red. I'll give you a couple hundred spirit points. And blue, does blue have spirit this morning? Okay. Wait, I got to count up their bandanas. I see one, two, three, four. Let's see, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Is that right? Only nine? Nine. Okay, so 900 spirit points for the blue team. Plus the extra, so that'd give them 8, 9, 10, that'd be 1,100 spirit points, because I give them 200 spirit points for having vocalization. Okay. And red, let's see here, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Missing one. You lost it? Don't have it? Okay. So that's pretty good. They got all their bandanas on here today. Well, now, the memory verse, if you didn't say the memory verse for yesterday, Daniel 6:3, you can say it today. If everybody on your team says it, that's 10,000 bonus points. Okay? Memory verse for today is Daniel 6:4, which is the next verse that we used yesterday for his unquestionable character. You memorize that one, 1,000 points every verse. Whole team says it, 10,000 points. So that will be a key factor. That could win or lose the game for you, for the competition, for our day off school, our pizza party, and our quiz recap. Okay? So somebody is going to walk away with it today. And we got some games planned this after later on here today, and we're gonna have a crazy time here in just a momento. So let's see here. We're gonna need two young men and one young lady from each side, Brother Don, for our next competition here. And Jeannie K. Dubs, you come up here and help me. We need to open these up. Three. Two, already got one that's open. All right. And I need you to come right up here on the platform. Okay. We have got some fruit roll-ups. Fruit roll-ups. Now, come on, get off the end. Here you go. Here is what they're going to have to do. They're going to take this fruit roll up. They will start it between their teeth and they will hold it. When I say go, with their hands behind their back, they will commence to eating this fruit roll up. They're going to try to suck it up into their oral cavity using their teeth and their tongue. They're going to commence to eating it. We will place them first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, if possible. If it's real close, it could be less. There'll be 6,000 points for first place, then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So, you know, if one team gets first, second, third place, that's going to be a big advantage there for them. I hope that you all feel hungry.
Okay? And that's what you got to do. You cannot use your hands unless you drop it. It falls out of your mouth. You can pick it up. All right? That's what you got to do. So, are you ready? Okay? And let's see. Is there any more we got to undo? Okay? There you go. They all got theirs. Okay, you start by putting that there in between your teeth. Now, this is what happens. As soon as you're done, when you're finished and it's all gone, it has to be all out of your oral cavity. Nothing is left inside your mouth. It's all in your tummy. You open your mouth, and you show us that it is gone. Brother Don and I will try to be watching best we can to place you. Caleb and Jeannie, maybe you can kind of help watch. Maybe stand next to Brother Don and you can help. If he or I need some help remembering who's first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. All righty, see who's going to do it. All right, are you ready? Can you do it? Okay, it's real close. I mean, this is a factor. All right, so red team, let's hear it for your representatives. Blue team, let's hear it for them. Are you ready? On your marks, get set, go. Can I use your hands? There you go. Eat them up, yum, yum. You gotta eat it quick. Eat it fast. Every bit of it out of that oral cavity. Ted's going. Gage has already got it. Inside his mouth. He's full. Oh, we got a first place right here. First place for the blue. Come on. Looks like we might have a red man to be. Second place. He's trying. He's eating it up. Yum, yum, yum. Second place, red. Second place, red. Third place. Fourth place. Uh-oh. It's going back and forth, back and forth. You got him for third, right? Go, 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 go. Eat him up, eat him up. Yum, yum. Eat him up, eat him up. Yum, yum. Eat him up, eat him up. Yum, yum. Eat him up, eat him up. Yum. She did it. Now wait, you got to finish in order to get the points. It's only, just 1,000 points, which could mean the difference of the game right there, you know, plus 250 points. And so the blue is still cheering for their last participant up here because they want to get... Do that again. Look at the tongue on that girl. Okay, good job. Blue finished. They get their points. Man, that was back and forth. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Oh my goodness. Hey, wow, we even got some left in here. Okay. Very good. Yes, indeed. Man, that went pretty quick. You all was hungry this morning. That's fortified with all the essential vitamins that you need to help you make it through the day. That's for sure. All right. Well, Jeannie and Caleb, come on up here. We're going to sing our song for, our candy throw. Here, I got some candy. I got some candy. We're going to sing He'll Deliver Me. Whichever side does the best gets the candy, okay? Brother Don's going to be watching to see who does the best on their actions. Who? Blue's going to do the best? Red's going to do the best? Boy, they got some good spirit. Give them a couple hundred spirit points. Okay, stand up on your hind legs. Here we go. Yes, He'll deliver me in my time of need. We'll see if we can do it. Okay, are you ready? He's watching for 100% participation, inspiration, perspiration. If you have some perspiration, show that to us. Get your extra points, okay? So here you go. We'll start off slow to help remind you the words. In fact, if this one's on, I'll go ahead and use this. Okay, here we go. It goes like this. Yes, He'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fiery flame. And He fed 5,000 with 2 fishes and bread. And He walked on the water and He raised the dead. Well, He stood by Daniel in the lion's den. And He saved old Moses from Pharaoh's hand. Opened the eyes of the blind to see. I know that He'll deliver me.
Boy, they're doing pretty good. They're starting off here. Yeah, just starting off. They're doing good. Okay, we'll pick it up a little bit. Ready? Yes, to deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fiery flame. Well, he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from Pharaoh's hand. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me.
Well, are they doing pretty good? Who's doing the best? Red!
Okay. Red's doing better so far. We gotta try it again. Alright, a little bit faster. Yes, you deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fiery flame. Well, he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from Pharaoh's hand. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me.
Who's doing the best? Close. Red.
Alrighty, Red. They get the bonus 1,000 points for the song. And they get the candy. There's two or three pieces. All right, anybody want the bag? There you go, just for you. All righty. That's good. At ease, you can be seated. All right, that's good, that's good. Now, let's see here in just a minute. All right. I did want to give, let's see, our senior. How many seniors we got? Three?
Four?
Who's the... Who's the seniors now this year? Robert's a senior. I know Robert is. And let's see here. Who else? Paul, stand up. Stand up, stand up. Where's my senior? Caitlin, right? She's a senior. Okay. And wait, stay standing, seniors. All my seniors, stand up. Let me look. Okay. Yeah, we've got a wannabe right here. Okay. So Robert, and let's see, Caitlin, and let's see here. Paul, wait, I'm trying to remember which one. Paul, you're Paul, right? No, you're Paul. You're Paul. Okay, Paul is senior, and let's see here, Stephen, right? Okay, good. These are our seniors. Wow, this is their last year to be with you. Wow, that's for sure. Okay, no, wait, stay standing. Caitlin, when you graduate, do you know what you're going to do? Where are you going? Wow, you're very smart, very intelligent girl. Okay, so Caitlin's going out there. Robert, do you know what you're going to do? So you plan on going to college? You going to a Bible school, or are you going to go to a secondary school, going to, you know, Devil State? Or no, I'm teasing. So you're still a little bit undecided. You don't know exactly yet. Is that right? Okay. All right. And Stephen, do you know what you're going to do? You're going to go to college somewhere. Do you know you're going to a Bible college? Not sure? Paul? Going to a Bible college for a year, is that right? Okay, stay standing. I want to give you something. I've only got three catalogs left, and since Caitlin is for sure going to Hiles Anderson, I don't need to give you one of these, but I want to give you one just to look at and to take a look at. I know you fellas are praying about the will of God, and I want you all to do that. I hope that you'll put Hiles Anderson College on a list of colleges to consider. I hope that you will talk to your preacher. I want to give you one of our new view books here. There you go, Robert. That's got pictures in it, so I know you'll be able to look at that. Yeah, if it's got pictures, he can take a look. The only thing that they do need in that is just pictures of me. Okay, you all can be seated. Let's see, juniors. I got something up for juniors. Juniors, stand up. I think there's three juniors. Is that right? And there's pictures just for you, too, okay? Junior, well, I thought we had three. Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. That's Ben. He's injured, isn't he? Okay. Poor fella. I've got some others here. If there's anybody else that'd like to have one of them view books, I'll have those and I can give those to you. Take a look. I hope that you'll be praying about that, about where to go to school. I think the preacher, doesn't he like to see all your graduates go to a Bible college for a semester or something? Is that what he promotes? Okay. I don't like to go against the preacher, but most preachers I know, they like to see their graduates from high school go to a Bible college for at least a semester, maybe a year, if they're going to go into maybe a secular field. Naturally, a lot of your Bible colleges do not provide a secular degrees for if you just feel like God wants you to be a layman in the church and to work a job. But it's a good idea maybe to consider going off to a Bible college for a semester, for a year, get some Bible training, you know, and if you're unsure about the will of God, be praying, Lord, you know, do you want me? If you want me to serve you full time, I want to do it. You pray about it, look at it, and think about coming. There's some good Bible colleges out there. And I know some of the students from here have went to Providence. Some have went to Oklahoma. Some have, of course, gone to House Anderson. And I know the staff on all those schools. And those are great places to pray about going. So you pray, get the mind of God, the will of God. One thing that we've added this year, just to kind of give you a little update at House Anderson, is they're in the they are added a aviation opportunity for those that want to take, maybe they want to be a missionary pilot or they just want to learn how to fly a plane. But we've added that aviation. Two of the colleges in the process of purchasing their own airplane for that. So that's pretty neat for those of you that might be interested in those things. And for maybe you want to be a missionary pilot or you just want to, that's something you've always wanted to do, learn to fly. But those are, that's something that we've added and expanded to our missions program, and we've also they're in the process of getting ready to build another dorm. That's a good problem to have. A lot of things are going on. School starts up on, let's see, Tuesday, and so we'll be dropping my daughter Jeannie May. She's going to be dropped off. She'll be, this will be her first year. She'll be a freshman at House Anderson this fall. So they're excited about that. They're going to get the most beautiful redhead that they've ever had. Okay, and so we're going to have a good time going over to the college for that. And I hope that you will be praying about the will of God for your life. Just want to give you that. And, of course, also, those of you, if you're planning on going to House Anderson, I know I've explained it to you before about the Highlander Club. That's what this green card is about. If you're interested in being a member of the Highlander Club because you're planning on coming to a House Anderson college, it doesn't cost you anything. It just gives them your name and address to keep in touch with you, to send you information, to keep up with you and to be able to help you answer any questions. And it doesn't cost anything. Once again, it just gives you a discount of $100 off your tuition for every year that you're a member. So if you're a member 5 years, that's $500, and that adds up. And so if you'd like to become a member of the Highlander Club, you can get one of these green cards. I give them to you. Some of you might already be a member because that's where you're considering going. Caitlin, are you a member? Have you been a member? For a while, okay. I thought that you probably had, and so that will help you out. Is there anybody else here? Anybody else that's a member? I know Caitlin is. Is there any other members of the Highlander Club? Okay, we got two, we got three. Anybody else? Okay. Let me ask this: is there anybody that'd like to have one of these green cards? I can give it to you right now if you want it. Anybody want one of these? If you do, you see me. I'm going to have them down here, Lim, in the front pew, with our books there, and you can take a look at those things. Okay. Just wanted to tell you about that. And it's an exciting place to be. A lot of exciting things are going on. How many of you have been in the new auditorium at First Baptist? Anybody been there? Okay, some of you have. Good. And it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing there at First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. All righty. Well, are we ready to sing? Our group is cut down a little bit this morning. Joe, pray for him. He has been battling with a fever and not been feeling well, and he got a little bit worse last night, and he threw up and running a high fever, so you pray for him. So Mama's home with Junior, helping him get feeling better. So KW and Jeannie May and I, we're going to sing those song here for you. We are going to be looking for a replacement banjo player while Jeannie's at school. She'll be with us on weekends and be with us. And so if you travel with the Walkers, you're going to have red hair. So we're going to dye your hair red. And then we're going to have to you probably wouldn't have much homework because I tell folks my kids are so smart they don't need school. So probably wouldn't be any schoolwork for you. And you get to do a lot of things. You know, a lot of folks, times people look at, you know, the walkers and they see the way we live and how we travel. It's like, oh my. You know, some people might look at it and think, oh, I'd never want to do that. Then other people look at it and say, wow, you're on vacation all the time and you get to travel in an RV and see the world. And they do. They got a lot of friends all across the country. They get to see and do things that most people wouldn't. They've had opportunities to, and we've been on, you know, it's just amazing how the Lord just does little things that are fun. We've been four-wheeling out on the Pismo Beach in California in the sand dunes. Man, that is an awesome time. That'd be, you know, if I was school principal, I would take you there for a senior trip. I mean, you talk about fun. That's probably one of the funnest things you've ever done is it's just big old mountains of sand, and they're the dunes have just sheer drop-offs, you know. And so you got to be careful because you could go off on those edges and it'd be quite a ride. And we almost did a couple times out there in those sand dunes. But we had so much fun doing that. And we've been out on boats fishing and skiing and horseback riding. And we've just been able to do a lot of things. And the Lord's been good. But those are just extra blessings. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, you know, serving the Lord's not any fun. Serving the Lord is you know, something that you know, maybe is a drudgery. Sometimes people look at it and just think, oh my goodness, you know, I never want to serve the Lord. I know whenever I was in high school and the Lord was dealing with me about preaching, I didn't want to do it because I thought, well, it's no fun. And you know, being a full-time servant for the Lord was nothing that appealed to me, because as I looked at Christians, a lot of the Christians I looked at, I saw, man, I don't want to be like them. You know, and that was sad because I had some poor examples. But you got to be careful. You don't let poor examples keep you from really seeing things the way they are. Because living the Christian life, being a full-time servant for the Lord, being a missionary, being a preacher, being an evangelist is an exciting thing to do and to be and to see the will of God and to see how God takes care of you, see how God meets all of your needs. You know, we're a team. We travel together. We're a very close-knit family. We enjoy serving the Lord together. We get to do a lot of fun things. And the Lord just blesses us all the time for it. He's been really good. And so that's the Christian life. The life of a full-time Christian servant is something that you ought to look at saying, wow, man, that's what I want to be. If God would let me, I want to just serve Him and live for Him full-time. And just to see what He does and how good He is. You know, you get a lot of benefits. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of happiness and things that comes from it. That's for sure. And I hope that you see that. I hope that you look at that. Because many times people make decisions on what they do with their life based on like what looks fun, what's exciting, where am I going to make money. And they really, they fail to see the whole picture of what it is. And most of these folks that are working jobs, you know that most people that are working jobs, they don't enjoy what they're doing. They don't like it. They say that over 65% of people hate their job, get up in the morning and hate it. Over 85% of folks that have a degree, we got a little bit of feedback, I don't know what that is, but they say over 85% of folks who have had a job, got a degree, or I'm sorry, they go to college, get a degree, they don't even use their degree. We was at a restaurant yesterday getting a bite to eat, and there was a girl in the restaurant who has a master's degree, and you know what she's doing? She's waiting on tables. And I thought, what? What are you doing here if you got a master's degree? But most people don't even use the degree that they went off to school for. And there's multiple reasons for that, that's for sure. But I hope that you decide, boy, being right in the will of God is the best place to be, that's for sure. And so you look for it. Amen? And you want it. We're going to sing a song about looking for Jesus to come. You all ready? We'll see if we can sing this one here for you. All right. I'm looking for Jesus to come any night or any day. Looking for Him to come and take His bride away. And if He don't come tonight, I'm looking for Him at daylight. Looking for Jesus to come any day. People say they believe that Jesus would come
You can tell by the way they live their lives. Jesus said, watch and pray, for I may come any day. I will come like a thief in the night. Looking for Jesus to come any night or any day. Looking for Him to come and take His bride away. And if He don't come tonight, I'm looking for Him at daylight. Looking for Jesus to come any day. Jesus said in His Word that no man knows the hour when He will come back to earth again. When He'll come, I just can't say, but I believe He's on His way. Looking for Jesus to come any day. Looking for Jesus to come any night or any day. Looking for Him to come and take His bride away. And if He don't come tonight, I'm looking for Him at daylight. Looking for Jesus to come any day. And if He don't come tonight, I'm looking for Him at daylight. Looking for Jesus to come any day.
Turn back on. All right. Well, take your Bibles and let's turn back over to Daniel, if you would. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter number 6. Now we've been looking here at the life of Daniel for the last 2 days. And who can remember? We said that he was preferred. Why was Daniel preferred? Do you remember why he was preferred? Luke? Okay, because an excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit was in him. And we spoke that he was preferred because an excellent spirit. And I called it his unbelievable what? Attitude. Okay? Unbelievable attitude that he had. He had that excellent spirit. The spirit was what? Anybody remember what man's spirit, how I defined it? Anybody remember? Ted? Well, now that was second point, was his unquestionable character. But I defined his spirit. Man's spirit is the thinking, motivating, feeling part of man, your temper, your disposition, okay? That is your, this attitude that you have, this spirit that you have. Then the second thing, the second key in his life, I think that helped Daniel be used of God and why he was preferred was his unquestionable character, okay? We talked about that yesterday, that there was, he had a no-fault faith, okay? There was no fault, no error was found in him. And by the way, let me just back up a good example, a good test of what a man, what kind of a spirit a man has is going to be given whenever you get demerits unfairly. Now, I promise you, it'll happen. You'll get demerits unfairly because you have a school that's not perfect. You have a principal that is, and teachers that aren't, okay? And there's going to be times where things won't come unfair, you know? And what happens whenever that you get demerits unfairly, you know, somebody, they waited till the last day to get their report card form filled out and signed by their parents, and they waited till the last day, and then they forgot to get it out of the car when mom and dad pulled off and dropped you off from school, and there they go, and then you're standing there, and you got it, and it's signed, and you think, oh my goodness, it's signed, I had it, it would have been here, but you waited till the last day, and so you think, oh man, that's just not fair, you know, because it's like that. Well, sometimes things like that happen. Your spirit is going to tell us, you know, how you respond to that is evidence of the spirit you have. Sometimes, you know, you will say, you know, hey, Brother Don, you know, I messed up. I waited till the last day. Mom and Dad signed this. What happened? And then he decides whether or not you're going to get the merits for it. A good spirit says, you know, hey, I understand. It's my fault. But most people are unwilling to look in the mirror and say, you're the problem. You know, you did wrong. It's never my fault. It's always everybody else's fault. You know, it's, you know, my dress attire. Well, my mom, you know, the reason why this skirt is too tight is because mom just hasn't had a chance to get me, you know, some clothes to fit. You know, it's never my fault. You know, okay? It's always everybody else. It's mom and dad.
your spirit reveals a lot of things. You know, an example of a good spirit would be they're somebody that go above and beyond the rules. Somebody that has a good spirit, they don't run the borderline. If there's a length of the way the skirt needs to be, or there's a code about whether if there's slits or no slits or how they're supposed to be, somebody that goes above and beyond it, they say, you know, I don't want to be, you know, close to the edge, and so I'm going to be far away from that. That's a good spirit. Somebody that has a excellent spirit, there's somebody who makes a new person feel welcome. A new kid comes into the school, maybe you got a new church member, and they're new. And somebody that has an excellent spirit, they'll reach out to that person. They'll be the ones that's in Sunday school, and whenever that bus kid comes in, they'll jump up out of their seat, go over, introduce themselves, shake their hands. Man, I'm glad that you're here. Come on and sit over here with us. A good spirited person is like that. Somebody's got a bad spirit, they're the ones. They're going to be sitting over there on the side. Nobody, you know, the new kid comes into Sunday school and the whole youth group sits there and just watches them as they come in. Watch them as they sit down. Nobody says nothing. You know, they're unwilling to get out of their realm. Somebody has a good spirit is going to reach out to people. Somebody that has a good spirit, they are going to be the kind of a person that gets involved in chapel and they enjoy school because they want to, because they won't enjoy it. Somebody's got a bad spirit, you can see them real quick because a ref makes a bad call in the game. And I guarantee you, it'll happen. When they make a bad call in the game, how do you respond to that? You saw it. You know that he didn't step out of bounds. You was right there. I mean, you was on top of it. You saw it. But he had a different angle. And it looked to him as though the boy was out. He's trying to make good calls. So he calls him and said, you know, that he was blows his whistle, boy's out of bounds. And so what do you do? Do you blow up and say, man, what's the matter with you, ref? Are you blind? Man, why don't you get your real job? You know, we're going to lose the game. This is a close game. We're going to lose it because you're making this call. And now the other team gets the ball and you blow up in his face. That's a bad-spirited person. Somebody's got a good spirit. Now, you can be competitive. And I love to be competitive, but you don't have to have a bad spirit. You can go up to that ref and say, ref, you know, I was wondering if maybe you could reconsider that call. This is what I saw. And you can talk to them. And if they change their mind, fine. But you're gonna get that ref, he'll change his mind much quicker if you approach him right. But if you approach him in a bad way, he ain't going to change his mind. Your spirit, how you handle things, you know? Somebody cuts in front of you. Somebody, you know, you get a flat tire. There's school uniforms that that are worn. And some people say, man, I hate these stinking uniforms. Man, I want to be an individual. You know, and they're just, you know, they're communists around here. Man, they're just trying to wah, 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 wah. Or it can be, you know what? I don't have to. It's cheaper. I think on the long run, it probably is cheaper. Don't you, Brother Don? I think it is. That's what a lot of parents have told me. They like the uniforms because it's cheaper. Don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. You don't get in a competition of a fashion show, and eliminates a lot of problems in school. And so you can look at it like, hey, you know, it's not a problem. Or you can just make a big deal out of it. But your spirit, how you respond to that? How do you respond to it? You know, how do you respond to it whenever that things don't go your way? Your spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit. That's why that he was preferred. Second point there was his unquestionable character, his no-fault faith that he had. We was in Hebrews yesterday. Turn there real quick. We'll just go over that a little bit. Hebrews, and in chapter number 11, we were looking at this no-fault faith. We found that the first thing that your no-fault faith will cause you to do, it'll cause you to refuse. And that word refuse means to deny the request, the invitation of. I believe that Daniel had no-fault faith. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. Man, he was just like, if there's anybody that was perfect, boy, that was almost perfect, it would be Daniel. And we see some of these elements of no-fault faith. We see, number one, he refused to say no to it. To deny the request of. We see the second one in verse 25, Hebrews 11:25, choosing. Man, he selected in preference to. He made a choice. And boy, we talked about don't make your decisions based on pleasure. I know of a young man, he made a decision of where he was going to school based on pleasure. This school had air-conditioned dorms. This school had beaches. This school had a lot of those type of things that drew him. Their facilities were better. The school where he was, the other school he's thinking about going, did not have all that. And it was in a different part of the country. And I felt like he asked me, and I gave him counsel that that's probably the school he ought to go to, but he ended up being pulled by his peers and by the air-conditioned dorms and everything else to go down there. And he got down there, and it was fun for a little while, but then he hated it. He transferred and went to another school, ended up graduating from there, and couldn't stand it. He doesn't even like to tell people where he went to school. And he messed up. He missed it altogether. He ended up marrying a girl that I thought would be the last choice for a pastor's wife. And she's been dragging him down, and it's not going to surprise me if he just gets out of the ministry altogether. He's made some bad choices. Boy, Daniel made good choices. You got to choose what you're going to do. The third thing, look there in verse number 26. No-fault faith will cause you to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So what happens is you will esteem things. That means that word esteem means to have a high regard for. It means to have value, to respect, to admire. We ought to have a high regard for our preacher. And I sense and I feel like that most of you do. You love your preacher. You'd fight for Brother Angel. You know that he loves you and he cares about you. And you have a high regard for him. Somebody has a high regard for the preacher. They'll defend him. And they would never call him by his first name. You know, in fact, if they heard somebody call them and say, "Hey, what's happening, Terry?" It's like, you know, I even have a hard time just saying it like that as illustration. You know, Terry's just like, man, it just ain't right. It's just like, man, you don't do that. That's our preacher. Man, that's the man of God. Boy, you better be careful. See, trying to pull them down to your level, trying to become familiar, buddy-buddy with them. No, we're going to respect them. We're going to esteem them. We're going to have a high regard for somebody that's got an excellent spirit, somebody that has a no-fault faith. They will esteem things. They'll esteem the Word of God. They'll esteem their parents. They have high regard for their school. They have a high regard for the youth group and their activities. And man, it's not a question, are we going to go? It's, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to be there whenever things are going on. I'm going to be loyal to my youth group. They esteem things. You know, what's valuable to you? Is it more valuable? Would you rather work and miss the activity? Or would you rather not work and be at the activity? It's a matter of what you esteem. It's a matter of what you consider a value in your life. Hey, look at the next one there. It says in verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He forsook. That means to quit, to leave entirely. It means to abandon. It means to withdraw from. Okay? He forsook that. He said, I'm not going to do it. We sing that song, and you all probably sing here in chapel. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, places I used to go, the things I used to watch, on and on and on. We don't do them. Why? We have forsook that. Because, boy, now we got a new purpose. Now we got a new desire. Now we got a new direction in our life. And so what you got to do, there's some things in your life that come up. A no-fault faith will cause you to turn from things. It'll cause you to get up and turn off that television. It'll cause you to forsake the old crowd, the old friends, and say, man, I'm not going to associate with them because they're going to pull me down. Whenever that I was in high school, and I'd surrendered the call to preach, and I'd headed off to Bible college. All of the young men in the church and the youth group, they were teenagers, and then some boys that were out of high school, and most, I believe, all of them were single. They were going on a camping trip and down off the Vermilion River, and they were going to set up tents, build a fire, man, fish a little bit, and shoot their guns and different things. And so, naturally, man, I wanted to be a part of that. So I went along. Man, we had a good time until the sun went down. It got dark. And then all of a sudden around the fire, I saw them pull out some coolers. And they opened up these ice chests and they started pulling out beer. And I'm thinking, what are these guys doing? They were in church almost every service. They were almost all the boys in the youth group was there. And I'm thinking, what are you guys doing? And then they start pulling out cigars, they start pulling out cigarettes, they start pulling out. They were just, it should have tuned me in the fact that there were no adults invited. You know, there were no adults there. Brother Don, that should right there should have just made me wonder, why didn't they want any adults? And I realized then, man, when you're going to sin, when you're going to do wrong, if you're going to drink beer, smoke pot, and be stupid, you're not going to want mom and dad to be there. Okay? And so, that's why there wasn't any adults. And so I was faced with a choice. They started pulling that stuff out, and they started handing it around. And I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do? It's kind of like that test that used to come across the screen by the emergency broadcasting system. Beep! Drive you crazy. It says, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. And that was a test I was going through. It's like, okay, Walker, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue to hang out with these fellas? And you going to partake with what they're partaking? What are you going to do now? Boy, I had to make a decision. Am I going to him or not? And that was a hard thing to do. These are my buddies. We went to camp together. We worked on bus routes together. And I could not believe what they was doing. And finally I said, fellas, I don't want no part of this. I'm going to go. Boy, I turned to leave. And when I left, went back home. There was all my friends. Because that right there, I had to forsake them. It wasn't meaning that I was going to be mean or rude to them. I just couldn't associate with them anymore. If they were going to live that life, I knew that if I continued to hang out with them, they were going to pull me down. I knew that if I continued to associate with them, it was going to keep me from being where I ought to be and doing what I ought to do. And most of them are out of church now. Most of them have made some stupid decisions in their life, and that was a dumb decision. And I decided then I'm going to forsake that. I'm going to turn. I'm going to run from it. I'm not going to partake with those kind of things. And you got to decide if you're going to be used to God. You're going to have to decide now, man, I'm willing to separate from the wrong crowd. I'm willing. And by the way, there's going to be a wrong crowd in this school. There's going to be a wrong crowd in your church. There's a wrong crowd everywhere you go. You got to decide, man, I got to get away from it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to live that way. Look there, the last one. It says in verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. That kept, that means to observe, to fulfill. It means to maintain. Basically, we're talking about obedience. A somebody that has a no-fault faith, that has unquestionable character, they will choose, they will refuse, they will esteem, they will forsook, and they will keep. That means they'll obey. See, God wants a team that'll play by the rules. God blesses obedience. God blesses those that do what's right. Man, whenever you just the basic things are just church attendance and tithing and offerings and reading your Bible and you know, God wants some people that's gonna, hey, keep the rules. God wants some people that are gonna obey the book. Amen. So you decide now, man, that's what I'm gonna do. Now, that was Daniel's no fault faith. Look at the last one here just for a moment, we'll be done. In Daniel chapter 6. I want you to turn back there, Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel had an unbelievable attitude. Daniel had an unquestionable character, and Daniel had an unending prayer in verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. We see here, you know the story, you're very familiar with it. Daniel, when he knows that the proclamation has been made, he knows that if he gets caught, okay, he's in trouble. And he just says, no, I'm not going to let their rules, their laws keep me from doing what's right. I'm going to do it anyway. He comes, he opens up his windows just like he always did, meets God just like he always did. Daniel had an unending prayer. His prayer life was fixed. He was a companion of God. He had a scheduled time that he met the Lord. 3 times a day, he met with God. It was a conversation. It was a meeting, okay, that he had that he didn't let anything interfere with. I remember whenever I was at college and I was dating Loretta. I mean, nothing interfered with that time that I had scheduled that I was going to be with her. Okay? I mean, come hell or high water, buddy, whenever, if I had a date with her, I was going to be there. Because that relationship was important. I wanted to be with my sweet baby honey mama. Woo! Man, I wanted to be next to her. I wanted to talk to her. I wanted to see her. We had a relationship. We had times that we met together. We had dates. We had a relationship. And we would converse and we would talk. And my relationship with God is more important than any other relationship. So therefore, just the way that, you know, my plans in most time, every either a Saturday morning or Monday morning, my wife and I, we have a date. And we always go out. We do something together. That's scheduled. We do it. Because if we don't, we could drift apart. And we need to be close. And so we got to have scheduled times the same way it is with God. Man, if you walk with God and you pray and you've got an unending prayer life like Daniel did, I believe the door for Daniel's prayer life was open all the time. I believe that Daniel, he could just talk to God anytime, any place, anywhere. He didn't have to be at a particular location. It's just like all of a sudden at the drop of a hat, he just felt like he could pray. I remember one time I saw Dr. Boyd, and we were just talking. We were visiting in the parking lot, and as he had pulled in from a meeting, and after we talked for a few moments, and something was brought up of concern, and he said, "Let's pray about that." And so, boom, right there. He just started praying. You know, he's that kind of a fella where he just pray anywhere, anytime. It's like he was in touch with God. He didn't have to wait at night. He didn't have to do it first thing in the morning. His prayer life was open all the time. He would just pray spontaneously. He just immediately just start talking out to God. Daniel had that kind of a walk with the Lord. He had a prayer life that was fixed. They say that the average person prays 4 minutes a day. 4 minutes a day. I wonder, does your family ever catch you praying? Have they ever caught you walking with God? Have they ever found you reading your Bible? Have they ever caught you in the middle of that? You know, most people's lives, their prayer lives are so unfixed. And they're so unstable and they're so unestablished that they would never be caught at it because there's no pattern. Now, you get caught watching TV all the time. But do you ever get caught praying? I remember we was at church camp and we had real late services. Oh, no, I backed this up. What happened was we had driven through the night to get to a location. And typically my family would have their devotions in the mornings. And so whenever we got to the church, it was real, real, real late. And we'd slept and tried to get caught up on some rest. And it was in the middle of the day. And I went back to the trailer to get something. And I saw our trailer that we towed behind the motorhome. We've got a 20-foot enclosed trailer. And I saw the door was open. And it was kind of moving a little bit. I thought, what's going on back there? I went back to the trailer, opened it up. And there was my boy, KW. He was in there praying. He was walking because he was tired. And he knew if he tried to sit down or kneel somewhere that he'd fall asleep. And so he was walking in the trailer because that's the only place he could find to get away from distractions, just to spend a little bit of time praying and talking with God. And he had his prayer notebook there, and he was going over it. And, boy, you know, that did me a lot of good as a father to see my boy saying, just because I missed it this morning doesn't mean that I'm going to just neglect God all day long. Boy, as soon as I can, I'm going to fit it in. I'm going to make it happen. And he was out there. I've caught him praying several times. And boy, that did my heart good knowing my boy's trying to walk with God. My boy's got a relationship with the Lord. I wonder, have they ever caught you praying? Have they caught you? Do you even have a prayer notebook? Do you have, in fact, I brought my boys because I've put together a prayer book, I'm going to fall, a Bible and a prayer journal. And there was some things in here that I wanted to copy and run off and give you. And I'm going to give you a handout here in just a minute that was in it. And he had his book with him, and he had it because he carries it with him. We just came up here for 3 days. The average teenager probably wouldn't even brought their prayer journal, maybe let alone their Bible. If they were going to be gone 2 or 3 days, they'd just leave it in the room. But, you know, every trip, if we go away from the motorhome, he's always got his prayer journal. And, boy, that does a father good. It made me proud of KW to know that he takes his walk with God. He's called to preach. He feels like God wants him to be an evangelist. He takes that seriously. And I know that he might not have a lot of talent. He might not have a lot of ability. But if he's got enough character to walk with God, God will use him. And that's what you need. Is you need to say, just like Daniel's prayer life, it was fixed. The man, Brother Scott, our pastor, he says, the man that walks with God always arrives at his destination. If you walk with God, you're going to end up where you should end up. The man that walks with God always gets where he's supposed to be. When you're walking with God, you wonder, am I in the will of God? Am I doing what God wants me to do? When you're walking with God and you got a relationship with Him, you'll always end up where you're supposed to be. And God gives us some young people that say, okay, man, starting out this school year, I tell you what, I'm going to press the reset button on my walk with God. I'm going to decide like Daniel, it's going to be fixed. It's going to be established. I'm going to do it no matter what. I'm going to make time. If you don't make time for it, I tell you what, the first thing that gets laid down is the Bible. The first thing that gets pushed aside is our walk with God. It's always a struggle. It's always going to be a fight. You've got to make it happen. People that walk with God do it on purpose. People that pray, people that get answers to prayer, they do it on purpose. They've got a fixed time. They've got a plan. They've got a place. And when you walk with God, you'll know His will. You won't know the will of God outside of a walk with God. You've got to know God to know His will. And that'll answer a lot of unanswered questions in your life and keep you from wondering. And a lot of times, you know, seniors, they graduate. What are you going to do with your life? I don't know. Well, I'll tell you one thing. They've not been walking with God, because if they've been walking with God, they would know. They would have direction. And because the man that walks with God always arrives at his destination, always ends up where he's supposed to be. Some of you just need to say, man, I am going to have a fixed prayer life. I'm going to nail it down. I'm going to make it a part of my life. Now, I want to pass these out to you here real quick. It's a little handout that you might could use. It might would be a blessing to you. And let's see here if I could get you to take one, pass it down. There you go, girls. Thank you, Brother Don. I want you to take that, just something practical. I want to put in your hands. I want you to have a look at. I got this come right out of my prayer journal that I've put together. And maybe you could use some of these things. Maybe you don't know what to do whenever that you pray and walk with God. But there should be a copy there for everybody. Everyone take one of those. This challenge prayer. R.G. Lee said, nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which is outside of the will of God. And as you look at this, I want you to look over on that page. It has acrostic for pray. P-R-A-Y. I tell you what, if every day, first thing you do when you get up in the morning, set you a time and say, this is where and when I'm going to meet the Lord. Every day, I'm going to meet God at 6:30. Every day, I'm going to meet Him at 7 o'clock. And I'm going to take, if you don't have a walk with God, just take 15 minutes. You know, 5 minutes is better than no minutes. 10 minutes is better than nothing. Just take a few minutes and get up in the morning. And if you follow this little acrostic on pray, what do you do when you pray? Well, first thing you can do, the letter P stands for praise. Take a few moments and praise God. Thank Him for what He is and what He's done. Thank Him for health, for strength, for family, for your Christian school. Think of some things that you can thank God for. Take a few moments and praise God and thank Him. The next letter is R. What does R stand for? Repent of your sin. Request God's forgiveness. So you make your wrongs right. Lord, forgive me. You know, if there's something you say, man, I can't remember what I did wrong. I tell you what you do. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to convict you about it. And you'll remember real quick. And you make your wrongs right. And so you spend a few moments requesting forgiveness. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, please forgive me. Lord, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to put my sister's cat in the microwave. Forgive me for doing that. Okay? You ask the Lord. Prayer is not like taking Aladdin's lamp and rubbing it and just, my name is Jimmy, I take what you give me. Give me wishes. Kind of like a little boy, he's wanting a red wagon for Christmas. He asked his mom if he could have a red wagon. Mom says no. He kept on asking her, Mama, please, I want a red wagon, one of them red flower wagons, a red one, please, Mama. And Mama would say, no, we don't have money. She said, why don't you go pray about it? So he ran into his room, and he threw himself down on the floor next to his bed, and he said, oh, God, give me a red wagon! Mama come busting in the room, says, my Lord, son, what's the matter with you? He said, nothing, I'm just praying. She said, we ain't got to pray so loud, God ain't deaf. He said, I know, but Grandma is. Now, you know what he was doing? That was high-level begging. He knew if he could say it loud enough, Grandma would hear. That's not praying. Praying is walking with God. Praying is not just getting things. Prayer is a relationship, a conversation. So, letter P, I praise God. Letter R, I request forgiveness. The letter A stands for ask. Man, make your petitions and requests be made known unto God. Ask. Ask Him. You want it? Ask Him. I can tell you so many things. The instruments we were playing up, that guitar I was playing, that was a gift that was given to me. So many things that I've just prayed and asked the Lord for, and God gave. Well, the Lord will do that. Ask for your needs. The last letter is Y. That stands for yield. Every day you ought to yield your way to God's way every day. Lord, I'm yours. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Some of you, if you would just yield, you'd know what God wants you to do. God's been calling you. God's been dealing with you about serving Him full-time in the ministry. And the reason why you haven't answered is because you just never yielded to it. You got to yield. You got to give up. You got to say, that's it. That's that challenge to pray. You can take over. Look that much more. Look over in more detail. The next page there is the Bible reading challenge, and then once again about a time and a place and a plan and that you read your Bible. Boy, you'll never know the will of God outside of the Word of God, outside of a walk with God. And so, get you a plan. Whether if you use something I have here or not, you just decide every day I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna meet the Lord at this time. I'll take 30 minutes. And I'll take maybe the first 15 minutes, and I'll go through that pray acrostic. I'll praise God. Next thing I'm going to do is what? Request forgiveness. Next thing is what? Ask. Next thing is what? Yield. Huh? You take 10, 15 minutes, and then you take another 10, 15 minutes and pray. I've got a chart there where you can read your Bible through in a year. Whether if you use my chart or use somebody else's, I've got 3 or 4 different ones that I put in my prayer journals. That depends on how much you want to read and how, but you ought to read something from the Word of God every day. Okay? And as you read it, mark it off, because you need a schedule. You need a plan. If you don't write it down, if you don't set aside a time, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I guarantee you. Daniel, he had a time. 3 times a day. Man, he met the Lord. Now, when do you walk with God? When do you talk with Him? When do you pray? Oh, I'll tell you when it is. When you find out that Grandma's got cancer. Daddy about ready to lose a job. You know, a catastrophe comes up. Got a lot of people praying now that New Orleans is wiped out. Oh, you got a lot of people praying. It shouldn't take an emergency situation to get you to pray. Okay? Let's decide, man, I'm going to walk with God. Our time is up. And I want to pray. And we'll have our invitation. Heavenly Father, now as we pray, Lord, I've just wanted to challenge these young people about being like a Daniel that had an unbelievable attitude, that excellent spirit. He had a no-fault faith. Lord, unquestionable character. Lord, he had an unending prayer. His walk with you was fixed and was established. I pray that today, Lord, they've made decisions about their spirit. They've made decisions about a no-fault faith that would cause them to do things that no one else does. Lord, I pray that today they would decide they want to have a fixed, an established walk with you. Lord, that their prayer life would be unending. It would be open. Dear God, I pray for these that maybe don't have a prayer list. They don't write things down. They don't have a schedule. I pray that today they'd say, okay, I'm going to do it. And Lord, they would use these things. Lord, I pray for those that maybe you're calling for full-time service. Maybe, dear Lord, you want them to serve you and to live for you. I pray you'd show them. I pray you'd direct them. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me ask you here this morning, who would say, preacher, I have a fixed, established prayer life, a walk with God. Every day I've got a time that I meet the Lord, and most of the time I keep that appointment. I do. I try. Who could raise their hand as a testimony to that? Okay, thank you. Got a few hands. You can put your hands down. Now, most hands weren't raised, and I did that because I want you to really be honest with yourself. Many of you, I'm sure, have tried. Many of you have pressed the reset button. Difference between those of you that don't have a regular walk with God and those that do is you just decide, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep working on it until it takes hold. You just got to decide again, okay, I'm going to do it. Don't stop short. Say, well, I've tried it before. You just keep on trying. And you keep on trying. I wonder who would say, Brother Walker, I need to press the reset button on my walk with God. Today I want to make a decision to once again set a time and a place that I'm going to meet God. I'll meet Him at every morning at 7 o'clock. I'll take 15, 20, 30 minutes and maybe you'll use this prayer outline. Maybe you'll use this Bible reading schedule and you'll take a few moments every day to walk with God. It'll be fixed. It'll be established. It'll be a set time. I wonder who'd say, Brother Walker, that's the decision that I want to make today. Who would raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to press the reset button. I need to get back to it. God bless you. Thank you. Many hands raised. Those of you that have a walk with God, your desire ought to be, Lord, I want to be closer to you. Because the man that walks with God always arrives at his destination. And Daniel was preferred. He had a walk with God. And that's what made it happen. Now, just 1 second, we'll have a time of invitation. There won't be any music played. If God's dealt with you, you raised your hands, God's spoken to you. Maybe you just want to come and just seal some decisions that we've covered this week about Daniel. You can come in just a moment, find yourself a place to pray, talk to God, seal these decisions. make a plan. This is what I'm going to do. Just head your bow and eyes are closed. If God spoke to you, if you raised your hand, slippery, just leave your seat. Come on down here to the front. Let's find a place to pray and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to have an unending prayer. Lord, I want my prayer life to be fixed. I want it to be established. I want to have a walk with you, dear God. I want to get to know you in a personal way. I want to have a relationship with you. These who've come, these are praying. You take a few moments, you talk to God, tell Him what's on your heart. Maybe you might need to say, Lord, forgive me. I've neglected you. I've broken a lot of appointments. Lord, it's been a while since I've really had a conversation with you. Boy, you make it right. And now you say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do with your help. Boy, every day, I want to have a time. I'm going to have a walk with you. I'm going to have a relationship with you. And if you miss a day, you just decide, okay, I'll try to make it up, maybe in the middle of the day. If you miss that appointment, you say, Lord, I'll try to catch it up maybe from that night before I go to bed. I'll make sure that I take a few moments and spend with you. Oh, Lord, you know the hearts of these young people. And dear God, as I've prayed and preached my heart to them, I pray that you'd help them to have a walk with you, a relationship with you, because, Lord, that is going to determine their destiny, where they end up in life. Lord, I pray that they'd set aside that time. They'd figure out that place. Lord, they'd get them a plan, get them a notebook. Lord, they'd get something where they could write it down to remember. And Lord, they just do it day after day after day. And Lord, that they would have a walk with you, a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. I pray, dear Lord, you bless the remainder of the day, the activities, everything that goes on. Lord, we pray for your will to be done. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for this school. And Lord, the impact that it's had on the lives of these young people. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. All right, now you can look at me. Just a moment, be dismissed. I know we've went over 5 minutes, and I apologize for that. But let me tell you this. You got those papers. You know, decide right now, okay, where am I going to do this at? Where am I going to do it? Think right now, okay, where is the best place that's free from distractions, okay, and interruptions? And then decide when's the best time. You might have to get up 15 minutes early, okay? But you get up early. Don't. If you decide, I'm going to spend an hour with God, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, if you've not been walking with the Lord on a regular basis, that's going to be very short-lived. Don't overextend yourself. Don't just say, I'm going to spend 2 hours and I'm going to fast and pray. And I'm going to. No, start out a little bit slower than that. Don't set unreachable goals, okay? Get yourself a time, get you a place, and you get you a little notebook. Whether if you've got a prayer journal or you might even have something you bought you just hadn't used, it's on the shelf. You know, pull it down and write things, because you'll never remember to pray for everything that you need to if you don't write it down. And so write those things down. Okay? Get you a chart. If you just hully-gully open up your Bible wherever it opens up and you read, that's not going to work. I've never met a victorious Christian that didn't have a time, that didn't have a place, that didn't have a schedule. I've never met a victorious Christian, somebody that walked with God, that didn't have a system how they read the Bible. It just wasn't wherever it happens to open. Okay? They're reading places. They're systematically reading it through. Okay? It's not necessarily that you read great amounts of Scripture, but you read something and let God speak to your heart as you read it. That's important. Somebody asked Dr., I believe it was Tom Malone, how much Bible do you read? He says, I read it until God speaks to my heart. Well, if it's a chapter, a verse, 3 chapters, he says, I read it until God deals with me. Hope you get a hold of it. I hope it's a help to you. That's for sure. And if you've got any questions, well, you can talk to Brother Don. You can talk to a Sunday school teacher, your preacher, and say, man, I want to, because what worked for somebody else might not work for you. You know, what I got down there, that little, a lot of people like that little pray because they can remember pray. Okay, praise, request forgiveness, ask, and yield. That's very simple. It's very easy. Some people like to add more to that, but just as long as you do something, as long as you get something going, it'll help you. Because your habits become your character. And if you can make it a habit right now while you're young, as you get older, it'll become a way of life. And you will be walking with God and have a relationship with Him. Okay? All righty. Well, Brother Don, any announcements before we dismiss? They need to go and learn something, right? Okay. Go learn something.